for go-getters and just going to betters. It's the pre-W. Smith Show with Jeff Sloan on 760 WJR.
All right, welcome back. Of course, Mark and Kristen here with me as well. And Kristen, I have to ask you, you have kids, obviously, so do I. Do you recognize that kind of blank stare or the having to say things three or four times before your kids say, what?
Of course.
Are they doing? What has them captive? What is it? There's a spell on our kids these days. And you know what it is? It's social media. It's the kids staring at their screens, trying to keep up with the proverbial Joneses and everybody else as well. And the pressure on kids is amped up significantly more than it is for adults when it comes to trying to keep up, keep pace, quote unquote, manage your reputation at a young age. All the mean things people are saying about me on social media. Listen, kids these days, ages 13 to 17, 95% of them are on social media. They've got social media accounts. It's where they live, really. One could make the argument. And while in some ways it's good because it provides a way for kids to stay connected, stay in the know, and so on, it's significantly bad enough now that even the U.S. Surgeon General is warning that all those hours on sites like TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram are literally driving a mental health crisis among adolescents in this country. For the Surgeon General to step up and say, we need to do something to protect our young people. Protect them from what? Some disease spreading, some bacterial, whatever it may be, virus, whatever it may be. No, social media. And the use of social media, young kids, is driving real mental health concerns now. And of course, we all know stories in various ways of how they can manifest, and it's not good. It's not good, and it can be tragic in other times and in other cases. So what to do about this? Well, first, we need to become aware as parents that social media, we need to do something to protect our young kids because, as I say, as well-intended as it may be, a lot of kids' lives are living their lives out in these social media empires and universes, and the things that get said about them and so on can be so hurtful that it can be extremely damaging. So what
don't you think,
do?
Jeff, though? These social media companies have put a lot of pressure on parents to manage these platforms, manage these accounts, when, to be honest with you, a lot of parents aren't even on a lot of these platforms. They're not even using them themselves. So to put the whole onus on a parent to say, you need to figure out a way to manage this for your teenager, I think is a lot. I mean, not that I want to push the responsibility off to somebody else. Yes, it's my child, so I should be responsible for it. But gosh, that seems, I'm not on a lot of these platforms. So how would I know, you know, how they navigate through? And as you and I both know, kids are smart. They can navigate even beyond what a parent might know. So I think that, you know, it's a lot for a parent to also manage that.
It is absolutely a lot. And you make a good point. That is, some parents don't even know. And even if you do know, don't know how to do something about it. Because as you say, they may not know how to navigate TikTok and Instagram and so on. But I think the important thing is, like other things in a child's life, parents need to literally sit down and talk to kids about this and talk about what they're doing on social media, try to pick up on hints and clues that maybe something's bothering them about their social media experience, whatever it may be, and attempt to address it. There's also now, from the Surgeon General, he's making it clear we do need to do something. As difficult as it may be to try to navigate these things as parents, we must do something. This is becoming a mental health crisis. The call is out there now. The U.S. Surgeon General is telling us this is a big problem, and it's a threat to our kids' well-being.
Yeah.
And so something has to be done. So whether that's limiting screen time, whether that's making sure you sit down and talk to your kids about what they're experiencing, and again, trying to pick up on those clues to help them manage their own issues that may come up from their social media experience. We must, because word travels fast in the social media universe. It travels really fast, faster than ever. It used to be that we had to deal with gossip, right? Remember those days?
That's right. Yeah.
This is gossip on steroids.
Yep.
And it's hard for kids, 13 to 17, they're still in their formative years, hard for them to know how to handle a lot of this stuff. What do you do about it? And then when someone either comes upon a picture that you would never post to yourself, but someone else got and they would, it's devastating to a kid. How do you expect them to go to school and do their schoolwork and all the rest when they're really focused on, oh my God, look what they did to me on social media. They made a fool out of me.
And even somebody actually in something I read recently had said that maybe there should be like social media literacy training at school, which I think is a nice piggyback for what parents are doing, how we can educate in school because they're amongst their peers there. I think that's a nice addition, as well as the companies that own Snapchat, TikTok, all of those, the way that they produce the content to these teenagers. I think there's a way to tweak that.
Absolutely. Well, I will tell you, it is an issue. Something's got to be done. I'm concerned about it with young kids. I know you are too. We talked about it before we did the segment. Yeah. What to do is still largely a big question, but no question, we know something needs to be done about it. And as I said, when I started the little piece, even down to just that blank stare, when you look your kid in the face, they pick their head up from the phone. They're addicted. That's their world. And we better get used to it as parents and figure out ways to help them manage all of this and deal with it. All right. Well, standing by, of course, the Paul W. Show coming up next. Ann Thomas, good morning, Ann.
Well, good morning, Jeff and Kristen and Mark. You know, I heard you guys talking this morning about the Grand Prix and what a wonderful experience Kristen's family had there.
Yes.
I did, too. I was down there yesterday. Wow. Detroit looked amazing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I mean, the weather was fantastic. The crowds were wonderful. The race was really cool. So what a wonderful thing for the city of Detroit to bring that race back to the streets of downtown.
You're right. And it really shows off the city beautifully. How did it feel when the cars went by and you heard that noise, that roar, that jet engine go by? Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, it was so cool. We were right above the pits. So we watched the tire changes, too. I mean, they changed those tires in about, 10 to 15 seconds.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's
quite a spectacle. So glad you enjoyed it. Sounds like you had a nice seat, Ann. good seat for all the events. Showing off the city of Detroit. Yeah.
Yes.
And all of its grandeur. Beautiful.
So
all right, Paul
tuned.
W.
Lots
Show.
Lots going on this morning.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Paul W. Show coming up next right here on WJR.